Yes, Jason Woodley on assignment. We'll get to him soon. Tune into Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. And now, to make sure that there's focus on the Green Bay Packers, Jason Wilde joins the program with the professor, and I listen.
Not really, though.
Professor, take it away.
Well, should we give him the poll question first? Jason, should they have given Devontae Adams' number to Andres Carlson?
No, never. They should definitely not have done that.
We know his vote. He doesn't normally vote on our polls, but
yeah, because that's what, I don't know if you knew that. That's what's wrong with America. What's happening with America's favorite franchise? Where are we? When do we get to see these guys in their shorts and shells? When does that come up with my rookies and undrafted free agents and all that stuff?
Yeah, the rookie camp already occurred. Unfortunately, we saw them in baseball hats and T-shirts and just doing individual drills and not actually doing any sort of one-on-one, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, any of that. And now Matt LaFleur's argument, which, by the way, I am at a track meet, so if the wind kicks up, I'm with, 7-2.5, so my hope would be here that he would appreciate that. I'm
nicely
also looking for
nicely done, first show ever. That Jason used that before I did. What a day.
Yes. I'm also on the lookout if he has a triple jump coach locally for me. That would be helpful.
That would be Tony Smith, who should hold the state record in the triple jump. I can work on you for that.
Yeah, if he's willing to come on up to Green Bay, we could use that. So they've got phase two of the offseason program that comes up now in a week, and the rookies will be back next Monday. And that's when they'll at least do individual, position work and move around the field that way. OTAs start May 27th. They're condensed. They're only doing six of them instead of the nine that they normally do. So it's a limited OTA, but I got to be honest. I understand Matt LaFleur's reasoning for not wanting to push these guys too hard. I thought he made a good argument for, the challenges of getting ready for the draft and how that impacts these guys and they're not in prime shape to be going through football practices. But at the same time, you'd like to see more than what we saw. Like, I think back to Lucas Patrick, who earned himself as a tryout guy a free agent deal back in 2016. Nobody had any opportunity to do that. Like, it was all individual drills. So I'm not sure how you get a feel for, what you might have in the tryout guys, including number 17, Jack Studer, who came from UW La Crosse and was one of the tryout guys wearing number 17, which they just continue to give away, whether it's even now that it's in circulation with Brandon McManus, they keep giving it away.
I'm mad at the tryout guys from last year when they had Roger Stona and they're like, yeah, whatever. And they let him go to New Orleans and then eventually he just won Olympic gold medal in the discus. Like, I feel like that would have been good to have that guy on your roster for a while. I don't know.
Certainly would have been good for those of us to like to tell
the
stories.
The sweetest moments deserve the boldest place.
I get it. He's probably not going to make it, but he'd be cool to hang around, when it comes through there. So because I wasn't here the last 2 weeks, I was out doing very diligent stuff, including one of those weeks where I was in Green Bay watching the draft. What did they get right? What did they miss in the draft? And not talking about the 204,000 people there. I'm talking about the Packers.
Well, look, the fact that they invested the first round pick in a wide receiver and then proving that they actually do sometimes take the best player available, regardless of position. The fact that they took Savion Williams with a third round pick from TCU says a lot, because generally speaking, If you already drafted a wide receiver in the first round, to come back with one in the third round, that people wanted to take that as, they really are done with Romeo or whatever else. Mm-hmm. They were thinking they liked Savion Williams, and they considered him at 57, 54, whatever it was in the second round when they took Anthony Belton, the offensive tackle. And when he was still there in the third round, they're like, we got to take him because we have him graded so much higher than where he's still sitting at 87. So, you know, I think that says that sometimes, you know, it's BS when they say, oh, no, we take the best player available regardless of position. And then sometimes they actually do take the best player available, and that's what they did there. And they're really, you know, Matt LaFleur had a great line about how the only thing that we're limited by is our imaginations. Because I think he's sitting there going, and I can tell you this, where they were at wide receiver with Christian Watson coming back from the injury, I think he thought he was going to be running an offense that was very much Josh Jacobs-centric and tight end-centric. And while it still may be the case, he's going to have some more options now at wide receiver, and Savion Williams' versatility, I think he's going to be really, really excited about that.
It better not be the case.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry,
Homer. No, it better not be the case for all the reasons that you said. Right, Jason?
What do you mean?
Just what you said, a running back tight end. No.
Well, I still think, when you have a guy like Josh Jacobs who's able to do what he does, I still would say you want your offense to run through him. Like, I think that's, no matter who your wide receiver group is, I think you still want to do that. At the same time, yeah, they've got more options at wide receiver now. So when they didn't have them, you know, you're sitting there thinking, can we really rely on two guys who didn't make the jump that we were expecting them to, and Romeo Doubs, who we never know what to expect from? Can we really base our offense on those guys? And the answer to that question is no. But now, you know, if Golden is who they are hoping he is, they've got much better options. And Savion Williams, you know, I don't think it's ever fair to comp guys, but that's what we do with the draft, right? Because we haven't seen them. So, okay, well, who do they remind you of? And the guy that everyone there's two guys that they compared Williams to. One is Cordarrelle Patterson, who we've all seen, you know, he's been in the league a long time, but he can line up at running back. He can line up at outside wide receiver. He can line up as a slot guy. He can return kicks. And then the other guy they compared him to is Deebo Samuel. Well, if you have a guy that draws those comps and you can utilize him in that way, then you better use him. And I think Matt LaFleur will. It's just a matter of figuring out what he can handle as a rookie.
I didn't circle back. Did Savion Williams get any did he get any flack from Christian Watson's family? Or was that strictly from Golden?
I did not see that, but I don't follow Christian's dad. The most important thing is whether these guys can play. I get it. So I know I'm a sucker for good people and good stories. But, I wrote about this. I didn't know he was doing this. A couple of the Green Bay TV stations were there the other day. But they did a charity walk in De Pere called the Redbird Ribbon Walk for Cancer. And a couple of De Pere students had randomly come across Christian Watson and invited him to attend. And lo and behold, the guy showed up in the off season. Nice. Coming off ACL tear, walked the track with them. The local TV stations here had clips of that. Talked to reporters afterward, talked about his progress and where he's at in getting his knee ready. He's still months away. I think it's unlikely that he will be anything other than on the PUP to start the season. But the bottom line is that he is, you know, LaFleur loves him. I was just telling Jim, Matt, and Molly this. Like, LaFleur loves him, both what he can do and the kind of guy he is, and so do I. I just think every time his dad, and look, we're all dads. We all know how protective we are of our kids, and I get that. But, you know, whether it's Tyrese Halliburton's dad or Christian Watson's dad, it's a little different when they're professionals. And, you know, he can say and do whatever he wants. But all I think when he does is, man, Christian Watson is so different than his pops. because that is not how he rolls at all. And I just have a ton of respect for him being that way.
Are you out there right now raising hell at the track meet for Sid and Maddie?
I'm literally standing. Maddie is done with the triple jump. Sydney had a tennis match, which she won. And then she and I booked over here. We did not get here in time for Maddie in the triple jump or the pole vault. We're waiting for her to run her relay. And I am standing in an incredibly coincidental twist, not ironic, Alanis Morissette. I am standing 15 yards away from the high jump while I talk to 7'2½. Pretty amazing.
There you go. I had like 9 people yell that at me at the draft because Homer's an idiot and keeps
yeah,
calling me that.
Baby. Yes,
the delivery of that information was magnificent, John. I mean, could not have been because the way you delivered the because Homer's an idiot was just chef's kiss.
I would guess those people are impressed and amazed as I was and am. Mr. Professor, would you say that's the proper tone of which you received it?
I think they all realized it troubles me. They took great delight in poking at me.
Oh.
And the other thing that happens, and it happens every time I go back, they're like, John, and they wave at me and they go, your dad put it in the basement of my house, or your mom used to be the lady I worked with at the teller at the bank. Right. So it's always great. Like I thought I'd go back and these students were going to go, look, there's, I'm going to show them I'm the big guy in this town. And yeah, every one of them are like, had something to say about my parents. So, or they're like, well, I was 2 years behind you. I graduated with your sister. I'm like, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that your mom, who the only person she's a bigger fan of than you is me, obviously.
Yep. She and the gets, whole crowd. Gets, yeah. You're big in the 80s.
Gets, that's my target demo. I'm sure she gets, are John Anderson's proud mom. So I'm sure that's not an unusual occurrence for her either.
There you go. I love the 80s when they come through with my mom and all her friends that Dick Wilde when they come
through.
They're
having me over to play Canasta next week.
Yeah. So after we've drafted and after we put people together, if there's one concern in the roster, where is it? Where are we like, okay, this is the place that could be our weak link?
Yeah, I think it's still corner, right? Because we don't know what the Jair Alexander resolution will ultimately be. I'm still, as I talked with Homer yesterday when he was in for Tausch on our show, like I'm still skeptical. If I was advising Jair, which since I didn't pass the muster of being trusted with his phone number as he went through the process of figuring out if I was trustworthy, and then the season ended. But if he randomly called, I'd say, look, you're not going to make $17 million this year, whether it's from the Packers or somebody else, but I'm a big believer in fresh starts. And there was a lot of waxy buildup shoes, as Homer would say, that were created last year on both sides. Ooh, that guy just went over. I don't know what the height is, but very nice high jump. Not 7'2½, though. But maybe it's just time for everyone to start fresh, right? And if that ends up being the case, because if I was him, I would just fold out and keep saying, no, I'm not willing to take that pay cut. I'm not willing to play for that. You know, and I would certainly want my agent to be out there figuring out, you know, what other options I have, even if it's on the down low. I just would start over somewhere, and maybe not. Maybe ultimately they'll say, no, you know what? Let's give it one more whirl, and we're going to pay you half of the $16.2 million that you're scheduled to make, and you can make up the other half if you, through game-by-game roster bonuses, every time you're active, you get a check. If they were to do that, maybe he decides that that's the best situation for him because, you know, I've told this story a bunch, but the conversation that I had months ago was, you know, with somebody who is on the coaching staff who said, you know, God, he can still play Jason though. Like he's still a really good player. And I said, when he plays, and he said, sure. Yeah, you're right. So but the question is, Are the Packers willing to go through this again, knowing it could be seven games again, like it has been the last 2 years? Is another team willing to say, hey, we're low enough at corner, and we think we can give him an environment where he's going to thrive and be happier, so we're going to take the chance on him? And if I'm him, my approach is, I'm not taking a pay cut. You're just going to have to cut me, and then I get to choose where I'm going. Because I don't think anybody's trading to accept that contract, and I understand the resolution is at least in the mix, but I'm still skeptical.
Thanks, Jason.
But don't you look at that and go.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Faster. John's got more.
I was just going to say, you lay that all out, but if nobody else is willing to pay you that money either, because I don't think that's out there, you know, but you're right. Maybe somebody gives them 12 instead of eight, so, and that can make the difference.
Right. But to your point, I do think he really likes Halfley. And I understand words are words, but in my conversations with him, he really likes Halfley. He really likes Derek Ansley. That guy's been a coordinator multiple places, and he's the passing game coordinator on defense. So he likes the scheme. We saw what he did in the scheme. And, you know, the one guy that I keep going back to, and I told Homer this, is that he gets along great with Nixon. But the guy that is really his guy is Xavier McKinney. And he's been working out with him in the offseason. And there was a real feeling during the first half of last season that Xavier McKinney was this great influence on him. They sat together in every meeting and that they just had this bond and this connection. And maybe that's enough. Maybe he is willing to say, look, I'm going to make the same money whether I'm here or I go to the Carolina Panthers and get to play in my hometown of Charlotte. So I'd rather stay here with Xavier McKinney. And yeah, I didn't like the way LaFleur handled some of the stuff about my lack of availability, but I'm willing to look past that because if I do a pros and cons list, there's more pros to stay in here than there are cons. Maybe that'll be the case. But as of now, we just continue to wait.
Thanks, Jason. It should be the case. But
all right, guys, take care. Be good.